obedience is going to bring a blessing. So God, instead of offering judgment, offers a blessing. God is consistent. If you do wrong, you're going to face consequences. If you do right, you're going to receive benefits. That's just how God works. So there's laws in this universe. I looked up some because I really didn't study these much in school. So there's a law of gravity. If I understand this right, Isaac Newton invented this thing called gravity. I don't know what happened to the apple before he invented this, I guess. Okay, that's probably not exactly the case, right? But he came up with this idea, the law of gravity, that an apple was going to fall, or so whatever goes up is going to come down. Maybe that's a simple way to say that. So there's the law of gravity. There's the law of entropy, that there's a gradual decline of things. As we get older, guess what? The law of entropy comes in. Do you remember when you were 16 and you could eat whatever you wanted, and now that you're a little bit older, the law of entropy comes in and things change. You look in the mirror, you look a little bit different. You go on the scales, things might be a little bit different. Maybe you even measure yourself and you're not quite as tall as you were, and you think, what happened? That's the law of entropy. The law of supply and demand. People are going to pay according to what they value. There's some laws in math. I don't know if it's actually called a law, but can you answer this question for me? 2 + 2 = 4. All right, so that's a law. Everybody understands that, right? That's pretty consistent. We understand there's laws in the universe. There's laws of time. There are 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year, right? Those are the laws of time. We all understand that those are the laws. And then there's Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Hopefully that when we, you know, aren't that pessimistic in life and we try to apply that. But there are laws to the universe. And this law of sowing and reaping is a very important law. We learn that God brings blessing when we obey, and God limits those blessings and often brings in consequences when we disobey. I was just thinking about this idea, and so I remember as a kid, when we would take a shower, we had, the glass, the mirror would fog up. And so we would write different things. And I would always write things about how much I love my brother and sister. And they would write, like, Timmy's fat or something like that. Or he's actually adopted. He's not part of the family. I mean, that's what I recall. Maybe that's not quite. But I had a great idea. And I made up a word. It wasn't a bad word, but it was very close to a cuss word. And I thought, that'll be real funny. So I write this on the steam, and I think, okay, everybody's going to see it, and that's going to be so funny. Well, my dad saw it, and he actually didn't think it was funny at all. And I never wrote on the mirror again after that. You know, why? Because there's a law of reaping and sowing. I remember in fourth grade, I came to school, and as I was walking into class, my friend Chris said, hey, Tim, come here. I need to see your homework. I didn't do my homework. And so we went behind this place, and he copied my homework. And at the end of the day, Mrs. Thatcher called Chris and me up in front of the classroom. And she just reminded us that cheating wasn't a good idea. And I was always a sensitive kid, and he's a tough guy. And he just kind of listened. I'm sitting there crying in front of my teacher, I think I cried about half the way home and stuff. But there's consequences when you do the wrong thing. I remember I was driving in West Virginia, and I was going down this big hill, and a police was coming up the big hill, and I realized there were consequences for your actions. It's the first time I got a speeding ticket. I was about 19 or 20, I guess. But there are also blessings when we do the right thing. You see, obedience brings blessings. When we treat our family right, there are blessings. When we do right by our possessions, and Frankie did a great job of reminding us to take care of our finances last week, there are blessings. Within the church, there are blessings. The pastoral staff count it a privilege to be able to serve our church here in our community. When we do right with our health, there are blessings. So I want you to think of a time when maybe you didn't make such a good choice, and there was some kind of consequence for that choice. Just in your own life, don't think about what somebody else did wrong or what they did to you, but just think about that and think about how God corrected you. Remember, God does know how to spank us, right? He knows how to get our attention with things in life. Just think about that consequence in your own life. You did A, and therefore God did B. Those consequences. And secondly, think about when you've made right decisions in life. When you've done the right thing, how God has blessed you. We're a very blessed people, aren't we? I mean, we could just think about being Americans. We're blessed because we live in this great country who has an incredible heritage. We're blessed if we have a job or if we have a car to get here, if we have running water, if we have food in the refrigerator, we have money in our pocket to be able to go out to eat today, or if we have health to be able to walk and to work and to care for our family and to do the things that we do. I mean, we're very blessed people, aren't we? How has God honored His word? I know most of you work very hard. You get up early, you work hard throughout the day, probably get home late, feel like you wish you had more time with family. You attend the church. Most of you are involved in some kind of a ministry, serving others, loving your neighbor, trying to be good stewards, saying encouraging words. The other day I met with someone that's involved in our Upwards program, and they're celebrating the end of Upwards tomorrow night, and they were just telling me the joy. They said, "I'm so glad that I was asked to get involved in Upwards." And they used the word magical. Upwards has been magical this year, seeing the great things that God has done. You see, obedience brings the blessing in our life. And as we're obedient, God is going to bless. And as we're disobedient, we're going to go through difficult time periods in our life. Now, with that backdrop, we're going to see how God brings the walls down in Jericho. But we've looked quite a bit at the book of Deuteronomy. And so I have these verses on the screen behind me. You can follow through Deuteronomy 1 or just look at them on the screen. But I had said the book of Deuteronomy, duo, you know, it sounds like a duet sort of here. It means second or two. Deuteronomy means second law. The book of Deuteronomy is a reminder of the law. Through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Moses is right at the end of his ministry. He knows that the children of Israel are getting ready to cross over the Jordan and go into the promised land. He got in trouble, and he's not able to go into the promised land. He's going to turn it over to Joshua, and Joshua is going to be their new leader. So the book of Deuteronomy, he's meeting with the nation of Israel, and he's reminding them about all the things that God has done and all the promises and also the condemnation that God would give if we disobey. And so that's what's going on in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, here's how it begins. "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel." So he's teaching them. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. "On this side of Jordan in the wilderness." So they've spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they're on the east side of Jordan here. And while they're on the east side of Jordan, he's teaching them the book of Deuteronomy. And here's one of the things he says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in." So he's saying, I want you to obey me. "Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your father." See what he said? I want you to go in, and I want you to be victorious. I want you to be an overcomer, like Pastor Steve read earlier. I want you to go in and be obedient, because God has made a promise to the nation of Israel. Now, so think about this for a second. Why was the nation of Israel going to be victorious? Was it because of God's promise, or was it because the people were willing to obey? And you don't have to give an answer here, but I just want you to think about it. How were they able to go into the promised land? Was it because God told them they were going to be victorious, or was it because they acted upon the promises of God? And the reality is, that's been a debate for hundreds and hundreds of years that people have debated. how do you balance out the free will of man and the sovereignty of God? And God has this perfect balance, and whether it's the promises of God or whether it's the working of man working together, how all that fits in, I don't totally understand. But here's just simply what God said. If you obey, I'm going to bless you. If you go into the land, you are going to conquer the promised land. And that's what Moses is saying in the book of Deuteronomy here. I want you to go in because the Lord has swore this unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's given you the land, so go in and take the land. I've promised you a victory, so obey and receive the blessing. In Deuteronomy 4:5, it goes on, and here's what the scriptures say. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so. I want you to act upon it. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to do it, that you should do so. And then he says in verse 6, keep therefore and do them. This is what I want you to do. They're on this side of Jordan. They haven't gone on into Jordan or over Jordan into the promised land. And he says, I want you to do the right thing. If you'll do the right thing, God has made these promises. So in chapter 8, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. In chapter 12, verse 1, he says the same thing. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do. What is he saying? Obedience is going to bring about a blessing. And when we get to chapter 11, he talks about God's blessings and cursings. Look at chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. So the nation of Israel is just getting ready to go into the promised land. They haven't crossed it yet. And Moses is saying, this is what God has to say. God is either going to bless you or God is going to curse you. It all depends on your actions right now. I've set before you a blessing and a curse. Verse 27. A blessing if you obey. And then verse 28. And a curse if you will not obey. Now, I don't have these verses on the screen because I want you just to take a look at Deuteronomy 28 for 1 second. Deuteronomy 28 is about God's blessings and God's cursing. In Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 3 with me, if you will. Deuteronomy 28, 3. Do you see what the first word is? Blessed shalt thou be. Look at verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket. Verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be. He's saying, if you do the right thing, you're going to be blessed. Now look at verse 16. What's the first word in verse 16? Cursed shalt thou be. Verse 17, cursed shalt thou be. Verse 18, cursed shalt thou be. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be. What is it based on? He said, if you do the wrong thing, you're going to be cursed. If you do the right thing, you're going to be blessed. And the reality is that same thing is true. As a nation, God said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. A church is blessed when we obey God. A family is blessed when we obey God. As individuals, we're blessed when we obey God. So we come to Joshua chapter 1. Moses has died. He's no longer on the scene. And look at chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, and what's the next word? Go. Go over this Jordan and all this people unto the land which I do give them. Notice what he said here. If you go, I'm going to give you the land. Now, was God going to give them the land? Certainly. But what did they have to do? They had to go, right? If they wanted to receive the blessing from God, they had to do what God required. It was a prerequisite, wasn't it? God said, this is what I expect. I want you to go. If you go, I promise you, you're going to be victorious. All you have to do is step out in faith and do what I've called you to do. Remember the priests when they went into the Jordan and they stepped in. They had to step into this flooding water, this raging water that was going by, but they had to step in. Then God said, then I'm going to bring about the blessing. You see, obedience brings blessings in our life. And we see this exemplified in several ways. In chapter 5, verse 13, we looked at this story, but I think this is just a powerful idea of what was going on with the nation of Israel. In Joshua 5:13, the Bible says here, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. So they hadn't gone in to fight the battle of Jericho yet. But Joshua has gone in, and he's looking around, and he's trying to figure out, how can we win this battle? God has promised us victory, but he's trying to look for a chink in the armor in Jericho. He's trying to figure out, how can we get over these walls, or how can we get through these walls? What do we have to do? So he's standing there by Jericho, trying to figure out the battle plan here. That he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us, or art thou for our adversaries? Are you a friend or a foe? And verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. He says, the issue isn't if I'm for you or against you. The reality is, I want you to understand who I am. I am the Lord of all the angelic host. I'm the commander. I'm the captain. I'm the boss. It's not whether I'm here to support you, Joshua. The reality is, I'm here to lead you. I want to give you this direction. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? We know this wasn't an angel, because he falls before him and he worships and he calls him Lord. He's talking to God who came in the flesh. He it's called a theophany in the Bible. It's Jesus coming before he had come in the book of Matthew. And he comes and he's speaking to Joshua here. And Joshua realizes it and he falls on his face and he begins to worship him. And he asked this great question that all of us must ask ourselves if we're going to be victorious in the Christian life. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then start listening. One of the great things in the book, if you haven't picked up a copy, I hope we have more copies out here, but it's a great book. But Dudley Rutherford wrote this book, and this is a book we're going over, and we're discussing it on Wednesday night in our small group, so I hope you'll join us and get involved. But one of the challenges that he made to us in our class has been talking about, and I hope it's something you'll do in your life as well, is that before your feet hit the floor every morning, just ask God this question: God, what is it that you want me to do today? And then stop and listen. Take some time and read God's word. Take some time and pray. But ask God that question: Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? I've been doing that, and it's been a great experience, until sometimes I feel like God's told me to do something that I really was like, I don't know if I really want to do that, God. Are you sure this is your voice? Maybe it's just me kind of coming up with this and having to re-ask him. He's like confirming, yeah, this is what I want you to do. Listen to me, you know. But just ask God that question. God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do in my relationships? What is it that you want me to do in my health? What is it that you want me to do with my time? What is it you want me to do with my finances? What is it that you want me to do with my attitude? And then just obey him. Don't just hear the voice of God, but let's obey the voice of God. Joshua sees the captain of the angelic host here, and he begins to worship. You see, really, obedience starts with worship. Until we see God as who he is, we'll never really obey him as he deserves. And he worships, and he falls at the feet of the Lord, and he says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What is it that you want me to do? And in verse 15, the last few words say this, and Joshua did so. And Joshua did it. God, what do you want me to do? God told him, and he did it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? How do we receive the blessings of God? Well, you've got to hear it, and then you obey it. And when we hear it and obey it, obedience brings the blessing. That's God's simple plan. That's what happened with Joshua. And when he took that first step and he obeyed and he said, I want you to take off your shoes. I want you to honor me. I want you to bless me. I want you to continue worshiping me. Joshua did it. And then we get to chapter 6. And God had the next step for Joshua. And you remember what he told him? He said, this is what I want you to do. He's standing there at Jericho trying to figure out how to win this battle. He wants to overcome. He wants to be victorious. He's the new leader taking charge here. And he's trying to figure this thing out. And he meets the captain of the Lord of hosts. And he worships him and then obeys him. And then when we get to chapter 6, it says, the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your soldiers and I want you to march around the city and then go back to camp. And don't you think he was thinking, that's just ridiculous? You know, you got a big sword here. Remember, he's talking, this guy had a big sword here. Like, you could take that sword and you could go in and destroy him, or you could help us to go in and we could knock this wall down. You know, that kind of makes sense to a guy that's going to fight a battle, right? And he's like, all right, if we do that, then what? Second day, I want you to get your soldiers again, and I want you to walk around the city again. We talked about consistency last week. Staying with it, taking that first step, taking the next step, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Even when it's boring. Even when you don't feel like going to church, you go to church. Even when you don't feel like praying, you pray. Even when you don't feel like giving, you give. Even when you don't feel like serving, you serve. Even when you don't feel like reading your Bible, you do it anyway. You just keep doing the right thing. When somebody's mean to you, you do the right thing. You don't reap what you don't make somebody else reap what they've sown. You offer grace in those kind of situations. And it's not always that fun. All right, what do we do the third day? Go around the city again. And go back to camp. Really? Go around the city the fourth day. Go back to camp. All right, I see where this thing's going. Fifth day, go around the camp. Sixth day, go around the camp. Seventh day, I want you to get up and go around the camp seven times, or go around Jericho. And then I want you to shout. All right? And then we're going to knock the walls down? No. If you obey, if you just do what I've told you to do, then I'll take care of the walls. You see, our problem in life, we're trying to take care of the walls in our life. We're trying to fix things our way. And God has a plan. The plans don't always make sense. We always may not like it. If you're having financial problems, what should you do? Give to God first. Well, that doesn't make sense. I don't have enough money anyway. How could I give to God first when I don't have enough money anyway? You just obey me. I want you to love your neighbor, love your enemy, love your spouse, but they're not nice to me. You do it anyway. You do the right thing, right? You just keep doing it. Don't worry about the wall, what they're supposed to do. You just do what you're supposed to do. And you obey me, and I'm going to give you the blessing. You just keep doing the right thing. And then they shout. And next week we're going to learn more about those walls. You see, obedience brings a blessing. What about Rahab? Rahab was not a moral woman. The Bible says that she was a prostitute. She did things that were not very good, but God honored her faith and her obedience. She realized that God had a plan for the nation of Israel. And the reality was, she became a traitor to her own country, but she honored her God. She accepted Israel's God and trusted in his plan. And as you get to the New Testament, you realize that in the heritage of Jesus Christ, we see Rahab. this lady who had been a prostitute must have married some Jewish man who was in the lineage of David and ultimately Jesus. And God transformed her life. Why? Because she was obedient. The priests stepping into the Jordan when it was flooded, and that obedience divided the Jordan. Joshua obeying God. We even see disobedience bringing a curse. Achan, who was told, don't take anything from here. It all belongs to God. This is his first fruit. Don't you mess with it. But he saw some things that he personally wanted, and he took them. And remember, during that second battle, they went to Ai and lost the battle. And people died. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. And that disobedience brought judgment. You see, you obey. If you reap what you sow, what's going to happen? You're going to receive a blessing. If we disobey, remember the same law applies, we're going to have consequences. That's the way God works. Even Moses disobeyed. And God said, you're not going to enter the promised land. 40 years earlier, the children of Israel disobeyed. And they didn't enter the promised land. But now God is restoring them and giving them a second chance, allowing them to get these things back on track. And in their obedience, God not only divides the Jordan, but he tears down the walls of Jericho. Because obedience brings a blessing. 1 John 3 verse 18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. He's not saying don't say I love you. He's just saying don't let that be the only thing. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Someone said, I want to live in such a way that when God looks at my life and I say to him, I love you, I hear back, I know. We should live in in such a way that when we tell our spouse, I love you, that they already know. We should live in such a way that when we tell our children we love them, or our parents we love them, they say, I know. We should love the church in a way that is demonstrated by our obedience. We should love our Bible, and it's displayed not because it's sitting in a nice place or it looks pretty, but because we get into it day after day. And we should love our God in such a way that we're proving it. Love not just with your words or with your tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we can see the blessings of God. Here's my question for the day. As you leave here, I really want you to consider this question. I think I even have it on the screen behind me, but here it is. What is one area of your life that needs more obedience to God? What's one area of your life that needs more obedience to God? Just think about that for a minute. In what area can I be obedient? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're here today. You've heard the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You understand that you've sinned against God, that we've offended God, but there's never been that time in your life that you prayed and accepted, you've called upon His name, you've asked Him to come into your life. If you've not done that, that's the most important decision that you could ever make. I made that decision when I was 14 years old. So I could know that I was going to heaven. If you don't have that settled, pray and ask Him, or come forward in just a minute during our invitation and ask Christ to be your Savior. We'd love to have somebody share with you how you can have that settled. If you're a Christian and you've never followed in baptism, hey, that's what we call the first step of obedience. Nowhere in Scripture do you see somebody becoming a Christian that didn't get baptized, but as I said that, there is one. When the thief on the cross was dying and Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," he didn't have a chance. So I think God understood that one. But every Christian followed in believer's baptism. Have you stepped out in obedience to that? What about church membership? What about your stewardship and your giving? What about attending faithfully? What about your relationships, your family, attending a small group, the way you spend your money, the way you spend your time, the way you use your spiritual gifts, your personal character in life? What about the way you work on your job or the way you act at college? What about the way you act in your community or our own personal holiness? Are there habits in our life that we know are not consistent with what God wants when he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy"? What about your thought life, your attitude, your speech, your humility, your Christian growth and maturity, witnessing as we are called to take the gospel to the world around us? Maybe you can lift your hand up and say, "I love Jesus here," but in the workplace and in the community, you struggle with even praying over your food. What about your physical health, your mental health, your spiritual health in life? You see, I'm sure there's loads and loads of things that we could work on, but here's what I'm asking today. What is that one area that God is speaking to you about right now? You've heard him. And let's not just be hearers of the word, but today let's leave here and be doers. For just a moment, let's bow our heads. And as your head is bowed, one, I hope you're talking to God, and secondly, I hope you're listening to his voice. Maybe he has already spoken to you, and there's some area in your life that you know the Spirit of God, he's whispering into your heart right now, that something needs to change. Remember what Joshua did when he worshiped God? "Lord, what is it that you want me to do?" Ask him how to change that. Tell him that you are committed to make that change. Something you need to stop doing, or maybe something you need to start doing. In the next few weeks, we're going to have a baptism. Maybe you just need to make that decision. "I'm going to get baptized." Or you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus. Just call upon him. Ask him to be your Savior today. Or maybe you be honest and just say, "You know, I'm listening for God right now. I haven't heard him speak yet." So you just stop and listen. How's he speaking to you? And just make a decision tomorrow morning when you wake up. As rushed as life is, just pause for a few moments and ask him, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do today?" Remember Joshua 24, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And then as you get up on Tuesday, "God, speak to me this morning. What would you have me to do?" Do the same on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then join us here on Palm Sunday as we finish this series out. As we ask God to tear down the walls. Maybe you have a wall of a marriage problem. Would you come forward during this invitation? have a problem with some other relationship, with your children and with your parents. With a boss. Maybe God's allowed some situations in your life. And really the battle is on the inside between you and God right now. Let Him win. Let Him speak to you. Dear Father, as Joshua worshiped You and bowed down before You, we know that You are worthy. And that You're the God of the second chance and the third chance. You are here to restore us. As we move into Palm Sunday and at Easter, we celebrate Your resurrection, the newness of life. God, make us new. Forgive us for wrong actions. God, we want to enter into Your blessings. We want to prove our love to You. Father, would You bless during this invitation? In Jesus' name, would You stand?